Oh, hello there. It's the titular Matt Stewart letting you know that I'm going to be in Sydney, Australia, and then Brisbane, Australia, doing short runs of my show, Dryer Dryer. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May. Hey, but also, you might not know this, I'm doing a live Who Knew It with Matt Stewart in Sydney on the 13th of May and in Brisbane on the 14th of May. Holy moly, am I looking forward to these shows. Please get tickets for all of these now. If you use the discount code DOGOON, that might work. I'm not sure, but worth a try. Really hope to see you there. Sydney especially, please come along. Brisbane also, though you're buying tickets earlier, better. Sydney lift, please. All right, I'll see you soon now. On with the show.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart. Our first guest is host of the Do Go On podcast. It's Jess Perkins. You've been a while gone, Jess.
That's all right.
It's so good to have you back.
You and I have been feuding.
Yeah, I know.
Behind the scenes.
And it's so great to have made peace with you.
Well, you know, baby steps.
I've made peace with you.
Yeah, I refuse.
That's the baby step. I've met you in the middle.
You're the baby.
And you took a step further away. Our second guest this week is coming in live from Canada. It's Alistair Tremblay-Birchall.
Hello, it's me from Canada. Hello, everybody.
Whereabouts in Canada are you?
I am just outside of Montreal in an area called Longueuil.
Longueuil?
Not Longueuil. No. Longueuil.
Longueuil. That's awesome.
I mean, no, that's not quite it, but
Matt is fluent in French.
You've got that weird French Canadian accent.
Yeah,
I'm doing
yeah.
it in proper
He's doing
French.
Doing proper French.
Yeah, I apologize. All right,
say so one more
it
time.
It is Longueuil.
Longueuil.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, you got it. You got it actually that time. Pretty good. Yeah,
and you've just moved back home. Do you think of it as moving back home?
No, I don't think of it like that because I don't remember really anything much about living in Canada. And so I'm here now and I'm remembering some stuff. I remember the cold air when you breathe in when it's winter outside. And then I remember the cold fingers when you walk around in the cold outside.
Okay.
And then I'm remembering the cold face that you get when you also walk around outside.
It sounds to me like you've never been cold in Australia.
No, I mean, not in the way that you feel. I've felt cold even in just the last 5 days that I've been here.
It's a different cold. Yeah. It's much like Australians say, the sun's different in Australia. Buy some of our sunscreen and you want to bloody put it on because the sun's different, mate.
That's what people say here. They said sun's different in Australia.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I've never heard anyone say that before.
Sun's different here, mate.
Is that why? Because there is that stereotype of like English backpackers looking like tomatoes.
Yeah.
And that's because they're using English sunscreen?
Sun's different here, mate.
it's a different sun, mate.
I did not realize that.
It's a different sun.
But it's because we're under the hole in the ozone.
That's
though,
right. It'll burn ya.
It is the ozone.
But why is that here? You're some sort of scientist, aren't you, Al? Why does Australia have the hole?
I guess God felt like we deserved it.
Yeah, okay. That is very scientific.
Yeah. I say we though, but I've moved away.
You've left us, and I am not. I haven't forgiven you yet, but I'll get there in time.
Yeah, but you know what? I haven't forgiven you for staying.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right. The way the show works is I ask a relatively obscure trivia question. Our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one, and they have to guess which one is correct. The first question comes from listener Rachel Ball from London. In the UK. And Rachel's question is, what does carcinization mean? What does carcinization mean? And while they're writing their answers, I'll explain how the scoring works. So you get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestant, and another point if you correctly guess the answer. And by the way, I'm also playing as the house, and I've put in two of my own fake answers for each question with the help of the question writers, and I get a point for each one of those that our guests choose. So each of us can score up to 2 points per round, which seems fair, but the probability actually favours me, the house. That's why, in the final round, the guests get triple points to give them a chance to really level things up, because the house always wins otherwise. That's not really true. House is pretty hopeless. Anyway, our questions come from our great Patreon supporters. And if you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dogoonpod, which is linked in the show notes. All right, the answers are in for question number one. What does carcinization mean? A phenomenon in which patients present symptoms of slowly turning into Carson Daly.
What a reference.
Carson Daly. Just quickly Googling.
He's like a TV guy.
Matt's saying that so that we don't think it's the house that wrote
that. That's an American TV host. No, I hadn't looked it up, but that's the real answer. Option two. The lamestream media spreading lies about perfectly healthy habits like smoking or drinking being carcinogenic. The theory that multiple different animals have evolved into crab-like creatures.
Oh.
Oh. I'd like to sound that.
The process by which lower socioeconomic scholarship recipients at Ivy League schools slowly become more preppy, i.e. becoming like a Carson. Or finally,
interesting,
a Bushism. George W. Bush accidentally coined it, and it means to get into a car.
Jesus. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him. He has said truly batshit stuff.
You know what I love about this is that even if that's not true, I love the idea of bringing back George W. Bush can't speak well jokes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, you should stay involved in the Do Go On podcast network, because never let it go.
We love him.
Oh, I love that. When you look back now, you think, that was a beautiful time. A guy who just misspeaks.
Constantly. And he's the leader of the free world.
I see a lot of it myself in him. Yes. In that way. The only thing is, I'm not the leader of a free world, or much at all, really. Yet.
Not yet. Yeah, yeah.
Our favorite is the one where he's like halfway through the fool me twice saying, he either loses his place, or he realizes he doesn't want to give the soundbite of saying, I'm a fool or whatever.
Yeah.
So he stops and he says, fool me once. He doesn't want to say shame on me or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But he ends up going, can't get fooled again.
Can't get fooled again.
Can't get fooled again. And he really leans into it, pushes his hand forward just to sell it. That's so great.
That is very good. One of my faves was probably one of Letterman's faves, so that's where I saw a bunch. But it was, I remember we were in Africa recently and we went to a park in Botswana.
Botswana. Yeah, just the way they're the best. Those ones where you just leant into them. They were real fun. There were all the other classics, like our putting food on their family instead of on the table. Now Watch This Drive's a classic.
Now Watch This Drive.
Yeah. Now Watch This Drive, of course, beautiful.
Just so many good. It's probably not ideal. He's in such a powerful position, but if he was just some guy,
then you wouldn't know about him because he wouldn't be so famous.
True.
I think
the funny things he said were worth having an incompetent.
Yeah, leader. I think the comedy is in the fact that that's the president.
Yeah, that's true.
Bushism is one of the answers, but now I've forgotten what the others were.
Yeah. Don't worry, all that'll be edited out, I'm quite sure. Because half my listeners are big Bush fans.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. And
I got a lot big of Bush heads. And they don't necessarily want to hear me saying that he was incompetent. I have no fucking idea if he was incompetent.
I couldn't run a fucking restaurant. Like, I can't bloody manage my own calendar.
Running a restaurant, I think, would be quite difficult.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it's not the same as running a world.
Yeah, that's true.
Or a country.
Yeah, no. That's true.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. So yeah, you're right. But then again, you do have a lot more helpers running a country.
True. Is he doing anything?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and he's managed to, I think, help his image by just becoming a painter.
Ah. And he's like a decent painter, is he?
Well, I don't know if he's good, but it's very interesting.
Like,
to see
he's painting houses, like, or is he painting pictures?
Like, he's painting portraits of like leaders that he met, and like war veterans and things like that.
Yeah, I'm googling it.
It's very interesting.
You say war veterans?
I think so.
That is.
I don't know if that's
he did
what
one to Johnny Howard.
If that's his,
he's
Putin,
done a, he's done a Putin,
funny.
Which is pretty good.
Oh yeah.
If that's also, his self-portraits, that's good.
That is good. So he's much kinder to himself than to Tony Blair or Putin. But at least you can tell who they are.
Yeah,
and if I'd painted them, you wouldn't know who they are.
Remember when we were flying to on tour somewhere, Bob, and I drew a picture of Dave and I showed it to you and you and me cry. We couldn't stop laughing. It looked so... It was such a funny, I don't know why, it was such a funny, it kind of looked like George Bush's Putin.
Yeah.
Only it was Matt Stewart's Dave. Anyway, we have got sidetracked. This is the first question.
Yeah.
Your options are phenomenon in which patients present symptoms of slowly turning into Carson Daly.
Mm-hmm.
Got lamestream media spreading lies about healthy habits like smoking and drinking being carcinogenic.
That one feels right to me.
You got... multiple animals evolving into crab-like creatures, lower socioeconomic scholarship recipients at Ivy League schools slowly becoming more preppy, or the Bushism about to get in your car.
It's about time I carcinization and got out of here.
Isn't bad.
It is. I was thinking it was almost bad. It's a, but it is a pretty big word for him to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry, my impersonation was bad. I think, obviously.
No, that was
that's
spot on.
That's a great word.
Al, do you want to guess first?
Yeah, I don't know. And so, and it might be dangerous to shift away from ones about guys called Carson. but I'm going to go with the crab one.
Grab one. Mm. How many of them were about guys called Carson?
Just one.
I think there was three.
Okay. I thought there was only one as well.
I think there was three.
I think there was Carson Daly. There was...
Yes.
There was...
Carcinogenic?
Carcinogenic.
Oh, there was carcinogenic, which I was considering.
I would have considered that, but the carcinogenic one is written like the lamestream media, and I was like, wow, it's probably not that then.
It's probably not from a dictionary.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know where on the internet this definition was found.
That's right. Jess, it could be a right-wing dictionary.
Oh, yeah, of course. It could be.
You know.
I don't know where Matt gets his information.
Preferred dictionary for 50% of my listeners.
Yeah. I'm going to say the crab one as well.
Couple of crabs. Yeah. All right. Here's who wrote the answers. The Carson Daly one. That was Jess Perkins. And so you're familiar with this guy. The name vaguely rings a bell.
He was like, he must have popped up in a bunch of like 2000s movies.
I think
he's like a Ryan Seacrest type person, like just a TV presenter.
I think I've always confused him. I always pictured Troy Cassadaly.
That's different.
The Australian country singer.
Yeah, he once made an appearance at Magpie Music in Bega that morning that I went and stood outside of it because they had a big promotion on, and if I was the first to be there, so I got up and was there at 5 a.m. stood outside of Magpie Music to get a $500 drum kit.
Whoa!
But Troy Cassadaly was making an appearance later on and going to be playing outside for maybe the 25th anniversary of Magpie Music in Bega. So it was a big day.
Whoa.
I've never heard of Magpie Music. It sounds great. Love a bit of Troy Cassadaly.
But you spent a lot of time in Bega? A
couple of Chisel songs.
Oh.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
And now his daughter's a musician as well. Jem Cassidaly.
And he's Jem? He's one of those guys, you know, you follow those older dudes online sometimes.
Yeah.
And they've just got, they can, you know, it could be anything, but he's just got this real nice presence.
Oh, that's good. That's always a relief, isn't it?
Yeah. The lamestream media one, that was the house.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. As was the Bushism one.
Oh.
In particular, that was really? Rachel. Wrote Rachel. The Bushism one.
So we might be right.
The one about lowest socioeconomic scholarship recipients at Ivy League schools, so they're becoming more preppy. That was Alistair Trombley-Birchall. Is that Carson? Was that Carson related?
That was another Carson name at the end. It does say, i.e.
becoming like a Carson. What is, yeah, what Carson. Is like? I didn't question it because I thought it might have been clear to maybe Canadians, which 50% of my audience is.
It could be my current location in North America, but Carson's to me sounds like the name of somebody who would go to an Ivy League university.
Right.
Like Carson Daly.
And maybe would dress preppy in a preppy kind
like
of way.
Like Carlton sort of from Fresh Prince.
Exactly like Carlton, but I was picturing a white guy.
Yeah. The same outfit, like a sweater over the shoulders.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
That is preppy. That is all preppy. You occasionally rock that preppy look, or you did one time.
One time.
You just head to toe in Tommy Hilfiger and Ralph Lauren polo?
Have I said this? The correct answer is evolving into crab-like creatures.
Hooray!
So you both.
Points.
You both had a hot start. And Al, you say you did not know that one?
I did not know, but I knew of the phenomenon.
Yeah, because I had the thought that you maybe might have stumbled across that.
Because he's a scientist.
Because he's got an interest in the sciences.
I do have an interest. I mean, it kind of, like, you know, would have made sense, I think, but I couldn't make the direct transfer between, you know, the understanding what the word meant and the thing, but it sounded like it could mean, like, you know, your outside gets hard and you kind of get you get round and your fingies get all pinchy.
You get round. You know, when you get hard, you get round, you know, you get pinchy.
Get hard, you get round, and your fingers get a bit pinchy.
Yeah, it's the word carcinization. Do you know about the etymology of that? I'm not, because I was thinking, like, you know, the cancer and the crab is, if it was carcinization, but anyway, I'm sure there's. Normally, I would explain it, but I didn't find that. I'm going to tell people a little bit more about it, though, in a second. While you're writing your answer for question number two, which comes from Alex from Perth, and the question is, which of these is the real species of fish?
Ooh.
These are Jess's favorite
love these.
So I make sure I include these whenever Jess
fish
is
have
on.
Such stupid names.
Oh, it's good, isn't it?
I'm just going to let autocorrect do the work here.
Yeah.
Autofill. I'm just going to start with a word and see what autofill says, because it'll probably be a pretty good fish name.
While you're writing those answers or autofilling those answers, here's some more info on all this crab evolution. A Scientific American writes, a crab-like body plan has evolved at least five separate times among decapod crustaceans, a group that includes crabs, lobsters, and shrimp. Carcinization is an example of a phenomenon called convergent evolution, which is when different groups independently evolve the same traits. It's the same reason both bats and birds have wings. But intriguingly, the crab-like body plan has emerged many times among very closely related animals. Yeah, so that article suggests that it says something like, maybe this is what the perfect body looks like. Called an evolution anyway. So the answer in for question number two, which of these is a real species of fish?
Uh-huh.
Gobble guts.
Oh,
brigadier catfish.
Oh, love it.
Judgmental mango fish. Wet bellied bobbler.
Oh, that's good.
Or sparkling Carolyn Marlin.
Ooh. Give me those again.
Gobble guts.
Fuck, I want it to be gobble guts.
Brigadier catfish. Yeah. Judgmental mango fish. Wet bellied bobbler.
Sparkling Carolyn Marlin.
Because one time there was a sarcastic something fish.
Fringe head.
Sarcastic fringe head. That must have been
one of the early ones, yes.
And that was, and I was sure it couldn't be that because how could they assign a feeling or a tone to a fish?
Sure.
So maybe judgmental is, you know, maybe it's got a bit of a, it's like got a bit of side eye. Mm. It's always looking at you, like, it looks you up and down, yeah. Like, are you wearing that?
And it looks like a mango.
Yeah.
It's got that kind of, you know, that blobfish frown.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's looking at you sideways and you're like, oh my God, that fish is judging me.
It's got resting blob face.
I think just because I want it so badly to be gobble guts. I love that so much that I'm just going for gobble guts because I want it to be true.
Yeah. It's like, you know how we have like the tawny frog mouth? So I say we, I meant you guys back over there and down under.
Are you now referring to Australia as Aussie? Hey, you guys down there in Aussie?
It's you Aussies.
No, the Americans will say, they'll call Australia Aussie. Aussie.
Oh, right.
I hate it.
Yeah. No, it's not good. Yeah.
If you want to shorten it, just say Oz, I reckon.
Sure.
But not Aussie.
But they don't want us to be confused. They might.
But they feel like they're participating.
They don't want to confuse us for Wizard of Oz, the land of Oz. So that's why.
Just say Australia.
Jeez. Sure. You've got a lot of rules, Jess. Let Americans be. 50% of my audience are Americans.
Mm-hmm.
That support George W. Bush.
Yeah.
Well, if you're overseas and somebody says, oh, whereabouts are you from? Do you say, I'm Aussie?
No.
I say, I'm Australian.
I say, I come from Aussie. I come from Aussie.
I come from a land down under where women blow and men chunder. Is that the lyric?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I don't think you need to know all the words, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You just have to know, he just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. That's the one you have to really know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going gobble guts.
Okay. Locking in gobble guts for Bop, for Jess. What about you, Alistair?
You know, gobble guts does sound good, but yeah. Let's see. I mean, I might go the judgmental because now I know that in fish nomenclature, how does that word go? Nomenclature, that sometimes you can put an emotion in there.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? What I could be stumbling upon is that so that's something just that Matt discovered when he did an earlier episode.
Mm.
You know, so that is a thing. But you know what? That's a risk I'm willing to take.
You got to play this with an open heart.
Yeah.
Be until at least someone draws you into their trap. At least until that point, you've got to have an open mind. After that, feel very paranoid, I think.
Yeah.
But at the moment, you're one from one at the moment, so you just got to trust what you're doing.
Sure. Yeah. And I'm happy to be lured into a trap like a judgmental fish eating a mango, you know?
That's right.
All right, here's who wrote the answers. Sparkling Carolyn Marlin. That was Alistair Trumbo-Birchall.
Good stuff.
Can you believe it? God damn it.
Sounds like a country rock star.
Sparkling Carolyn Marlin.
I'd go see her perform for sure.
Yeah, she'd show you. You know, how strong she is. I don't know what that was supposed to be.
How strong she is. Yeah, she lifts weights on stage. It's very cool.
I feel like that's what Marlins do. You know, they're always having guys tug at them.
Wet-bellied bobbler. That was the house.
That's good.
As was the Brigadier Catfish. specifically, Alex wrote that one. The judgmental mango fish, which Al went for, that was Jess.
I've made a terrible mistake.
She just set quite an elaborate trap there. Explaining, genius of explaining your working out, but not obviously saying, this is my reasoning, but you may as well have.
Yeah.
And that also means Jess is correct. It's gobble guts.
Yes! No, I'm just so happy that wasn't a gloating yes, Al. It's a yes, I'm so happy that gobble guts exist and I want to look them up. I bet they're really ugly.
Jess, I think it's okay for you to be a little bit happy as well that you
got. Okay, great. Because I am. I fucking got you.
You deserve joy too. Despite everything you've done.
Oh, it's such a weird nothing fish.
Oh, really?
Is that a gobble guts? But that's also a gobble guts.
Yeah.
I love them still.
Fish.
Yeah, they're...
guts fish. Oh, it looks like it probably can open its mouth.
Yeah, I don't mind it. It's got a nice amount of chunk, which is what I really favor in an animal. It
does have a bit of a judgmental look in its face.
And it is, I would say it's almost mango shaped.
Yeah.
I know, but have you heard that it's a potential threat to prawn stocks in Swan and Canning rivers?
Oh, wow.
I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe sort of put a cap on that excitement.
Yeah, I take that back. I take it all back.
All right, that brings us up to question number three, which comes from Colin Campbell from King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. Is that really the name of a place, Al?
King of Prussia.
You're a North
American,
it
is.
Al.
Yes, it is.
Wow, you're not too far from Pennsylvania.
Let me
either.
Check the phone book. Hang on. Yes, it is. Yeah.
And Colin's question is, She-Hulk has an arch nemesis that works a normal job. What's their villain name, their job, and their power?
Oh, wow.
Okay, yeah.
Four.
So She-Hulk, Al, are you familiar with comic book characters? She's the she's like the cousin of Hulk.
Yep.
And
so was she...
She's a lawyer.
Yep.
But also is big in green.
Yeah, I've sort of seen the previews to the TV show. Was she also caught in a nuclear blast?
I think there's different backstories, probably. Most comic book characters have retconned. So, I mean, I can't be too specific.
Yeah.
Obviously, I have a lot of answers for you. And while you're writing those answers, I'll let the audience know a bit more about gobble guts. According to Alex, they are small with large mouths that they use to store their eggs. The name gobble guts was given as it sometimes appears the male is eating its own eggs. Glad it only appears. The gobble guts... has an almost translucent grayish white body with a row of diagnostic black spots along the lateral line and a diagonal stripe behind the eye. They are relatively small fish growing to a maximum size of 12 centimeters. It is the most abundant fish species in shallow seagrass beds around Perth. That's great. That was a Perth question. This episode was initially going to be live in Perth. So that would have been so handy then. All right, the answer in for question number three. She-Hulk and Al, probably in fairness, you should know that that is Jess's favorite comic book character. I don't think she knows anything more about it than the name, but...
I need to know more.
It's perfect.
I did know that. Yeah.
She-Hulk has an arch nemesis that works a normal job. What's their villain name, their job, and their superpower? Handsome Jack, a bank manager come bank robber, who uses his handsomeness to talk his way into banks after hours, and complex financial lingo to put the security guards to sleep.
Ooh. How does he talk his way in then, I wonder?
Well, anyway, he's just so charming and handsome.
Well, he uses his handsomeness.
Oh, yeah. So he uses his handsomeness to get in.
Yeah.
But then what's he getting in? Is that for, to get through the doors, the locked
doors?
That's
to get through the door, I guess.
And then uses complex security guards. Financial jargon.
Yeah.
That puts the security guards to sleep.
Yeah.
And then the rest. Right. That's easy.
It all makes sense now, from then on.
Stick in a USB, take all the money.
I don't have any more info than what's in front of me, okay? So
absolutely. It was just curiosity that led me to those.
Well, I killed the cat, Al. Do you want to be a dead cat? Just a question.
It would
a question.
Be interesting for
Jesus
a day.
Bloody hell.
You got Dr. Bob Doom, a dentist who inserts mind control fillings into his wealthy clients. He's a distant relative of the more famous Dr. Doom. Then you got...
Sorry, wasn't he Dr. Doom?
He's Dr. Bob Doom.
Okay, my apologies. I missed the Bob.
I think there's rumors that maybe Dr. Doom might be a new MCU mega villain.
Right.
If I've gleamed anything from the Weekly Planet podcast.
The guy from the Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah, maybe I'm wrong. I might be thinking of someone else.
Maybe you're thinking of MF Doom.
MF Doom, the...
Yeah.
Motherfucking Doom?
The rapper. Yeah. Isn't that him?
Yeah. But yeah. He wears a mask as well. Do you reckon they're related? Maybe the Doom family's just really big.
It's very
big. I mean, with three members. Yeah. That's
they're
a like big
the
family.
They're a very prestigious family.
Yeah.
A lot of successful people in it.
Maybe they're not that big, but, you know, the quality. They're a quality family, not a quantity family.
That's right, yeah.
Next option, Gwendolyn, who's a gynecologist whose superpower is X-ray vision.
Oh, probably quite handy as a gynecologist.
That'd be really handy.
Well, yeah.
You don't want to be too handy as a gynecologist.
Yeah, but I mean...
And you don't need to be when you've got X-ray vision.
A lot of things, a lot of things that a gynecologist would do would require some fairly invasive tests.
Mm.
That's right.
So it would actually be... I'd love a gynecologist who has X-ray vision, just has a look and goes, oh, no, you're fine.
Because X-ray... I always assume that the X-ray just sees the bones, right? But do you reckon X-ray vision, they can just dial it up and down? Because there is an old thing of, like, being able to see through clothes with X-ray vision.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what would have to work here? Because gynecologists aren't that worried about the bones, are they?
Depends. Yeah.
But I guess Superman can, like... It's like, it's not just X-ray. That's just a word that superheroes use for simple people like
us. Yeah. So maybe, what's the person's name?
Gwendolyn.
Gwendolyn can choose between X-ray, MRI, CT.
Honestly, that would be good.
I had my first MRI recently for my knee, and it was a strange thing. It's just a lot of clicking sounds, like quite loud clicking sounds.
Yeah.
They put headphones on. He put headphones on and played some tunes.
Is the MRI, are you in there for quite a while?
Yeah. About 15 minutes. Yeah, it was just a click track.
Just a metronome.
Yeah,
just
like, yeah. They put on...
like they put on some tunes and then all the doctors couldn't help it, but get their fingers a-clicking.
Yeah, snapping along. It was like they were playing Up Down Girl by Billy Joel.
Up Down Girl. Up Down Girl. That's a good song.
Is that not
up,
what it
down
is?
Up Down Girl.
Up Down Girl.
She rides in the lift in a building with a lift around.
Girl. All right, you've got Gorgeousina. The attractive Supreme Court TV judge who had the power to make holes.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it feels good.
That feels right.
I mean, Gorgeousina would be a great partner for Handsome Jack.
Gorgeousina. Oh.
You know, another attractive one, but also handy to rob banks with the holes. The hole-making power of Gorgeousina.
Well, I mean, holes in a wall, holes in a floor.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he's saying.
I mean, right.
Yeah, you're explaining what Matt's getting at.
Yeah. You can even put holes in the money if you wanted to. Holes in the cops.
Holes in the cops. Yes, not holes in the money.
Yes.
It doesn't say, but is Gorgeousina's real power that she has a gun? Got the power to make holes. Well, it's just a weird way of saying I've got a gun.
I've got a gun.
Yeah.
Or finally, Healthy Helen. She's a puppeteer who goes to schools to teach kids about health. Only her puppets are possessed by demons. This was from one of those PSA comics, like the one with Spider-Man telling kids not to smoke marijuana or Daredevil telling you about the dangers of gas vapor.
I'm going to need them again. Vapor. I've forgotten them all.
Handsome Jack. Dr. Bob Doom, Gwendolyn, Gorgeousina, Healthy Helen.
Yeah, I mean, Healthy Helen, is she sending, you know, like those demons? Are they, like, do they do her bidding? Are they like, fly, my pretties, that kind of thing?
I guess so, yeah.
Meh.
Yeah.
Puppets.
What do you think, Jess?
Demon puppets.
I think I might be leaning towards Dr. Bob Doom.
Yeah.
Because the others all sound crazy.
Sure. Comics get pretty wacky.
Yeah, true. I don't know if Gorgeousina
There was one we had
one.
In the past where it was a guy who would weld. He was called Dog Welder, and his power was welding dead dogs to his enemies' faces.
Jesus!
Wow. Like, none of these are as weird as that.
That's full on.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I'm still going to say Dr. Bob Doom.
Okay, great. Is it also because it sounds like Australian comedian Bob Down?
Yes. Bob Doon. Yeah. It's Bob Down in a Scottish accent.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the fact that he puts fillings in and it does mind control just feels so right.
Yeah.
And we already know there's a Doom family inside the Marvel's the MU. What's just that's the normal? Because right. I don't think
it's not cinematic.
Oh, I yeah. think it's cinematic.
No, it's not cinematic. You know, but you know, some of their drawings can be almost cinematic.
Very
you know what I mean?
Evocative, very provocative.
That's right. Yeah. Bit of both, actually. You're right.
Yeah.
So I'm also gonna go for Bob Doom.
Bob Doom.
Because I know at least that it's not one that Jess has written, and then I can't go through that shame again.
You don't want to go for
even though
Healthy
I think
Helen?
Beck has written. Even though I think Beck, yeah, I was about to say, I keep saying Beck, what the fuck? Even though I know, yeah, I was pretty sure Jess had written Healthy Helen.
Well, let's go through who wrote the answers. Healthy Helen, actually written by The House. With the help of Colin. Colin had the PSA stuff.
That's good.
Initially, the way Colin wrote the answer was, he said the arch nemesis was a dentist. So all of his answers were dentist related. So why am I giving you such a dull peek behind the curtain? I'm not sure. It was also a combination effort between me and Colin. Handsome Jack, the bank manager cum bank robber. Gwendolyn, gynecologist, the X-ray vision. It was Jess Perkins.
I like that. Yeah.
Gorgeous Cena, who has the power to make holes, was Alistair Tremblay Purchill.
You don't say.
Meaning the correct answer was Dr. Bob Doom.
I can't believe it.
Bob Doom.
You two are on fire.
Well, no. Yeah, we're on fire when Al copies me.
Yeah, that's true.
You're three.
Yeah.
Al got the first one right and you copied him. Just in fairness there, okay?
I'm glad that there's somebody keeping track, you know? keeping Jess in line.
After three rounds, the House is on 0 points. ATB is on 2 points, but out in front on 4 points is Jess Perkins.
Yes.
All right, here's question four. This comes from Kayla Hodquitz from Lemoyne in Maine. Again, this is quite close to you, Al, just south of the border for you.
Oh, is it? If this goes well, I might head over. If this question goes well,
yeah. If Kayla, if you know any crabs in the comedy business,
yeah, or you know, crabs that are willing to just have comedy around them,
yeah,
that's right. They don't have to already be involved in
the biz, but they will be
with a good sense of humor. Kayla's question is. How is it thought that Wan Hu, an ancient Chinese official of legend, died? How did Wan Hu die? An ancient Chinese official of legend. Right, while you're writing your answers, here's a little more info about Dr. Bob Doom. According to Comic Vine, Robert Doom is a Latverian American distantly related to Victor Von Doom, who's the more famous one. And while a rather successful dentist, Robert felt envious of his cousin's wealth and power. I should say, he only makes like three appearances, and I think this spoils it all. So if you're about to read some of these comics, maybe skip ahead a minute. In an attempt to keep up with the Joneses, Doom formed his own supervillain plans. He studied mechanics, robotics, and weaponry technology. Then he created his masterpieces, neurotransceivers, miniature devices which would allow him to take over the nervous system of fellow humans. He started implanting these devices the fillings of his wealthiest clients. Spread around New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, in time, he would control them and through them, their fortunes, carving his own kingdom and showing up victor. That's Dr. Doom. He had not counted on a client accidentally damaging his transceiver and turning it into a miniature radio receiver. The client filed a legal suit. The lawyer assigned to the case was Jennifer Walters, aka She-Hulk, who soon discovered the case went further than malpractice. He had little chance in combat against her. She even bit through his adamantium lace drill. That's rough. According to Colin...
Bit.
So yeah. She-Hulk not only is big and strong, but she has strong teeth.
Mm.
And yeah. That must have been mixed emotions from the dentist. You know, he'd be like, glad you got strong, healthy teeth, but I wish you weren't defeating me with them.
I wish it hadn't ruined my drill.
Yeah. According to Colin, after he did a quick Google search, he found that there is an actual Dr. Doom dentist in New Jersey. I'd run with that name as a health practitioner.
No.
Doom's got a negative connotation because of the comics, I think.
I agree.
I know, but you realize that, you know, there's a lot of fun to be had, but it's probably just a foreign name. You know, he's probably from a place where it doesn't mean something like that.
Like Latvia.
Exactly. Probably means like, once worked as a dentist or something.
Mm, yeah, that's right.
His name's probably Doctor or something like that in Latvian.
Yeah. While you're still writing your answers, let's go for a quick break. All right, we're back. And the answer in for question number four. How is it thought that Wan Hu, an ancient Chinese official of legend, died? He fell off the Great Wall during an inspection for the emperor, after which the builders, afraid of royal repercussions, hid the body in the wall itself. He strapped himself to a chair full of fireworks in an attempt to get to the moon. He slipped on a banana peel and, while trying to hide his embarrassment, stepped backwards a bit too far and fell off a cliff.
I think it's that one, Al.
I've seen that episode of Roadrunner.
He was accidentally eaten by the emperor.
What?
Or he tried to prove that he could ride two horses at once. But when the horses veered off in different directions, he was torn asunder.
Oh, not asunder. That would have been like that Jean-Claude Van Damme truck ad where he does the splits.
Oh, does he get torn asunder in that?
Well, I didn't see the end.
It's implied. Yeah. Okay, can I have those again?
Asunder?
Yes, you may. Fell off the Great Wall, then got buried in the wall. Strapped himself to a chair full of fireworks to try to get to the moon. Slipped on a banana peel, fell off a cliff. Accidentally eaten by the emperor. Or he was torn asunder after trying to ride two horses at once.
Two horses at once.
You go first this time, Al.
Yeah. Let's see. Torn asunder. I mean, that's such a good word that it could be, you know, it almost has the whiff of the Perkins.
Torn asunder. You think, thank asunder. You for thinking I would think, I've never heard that word in my life. So asunder. Thank you for thinking that's me.
Or is that what she wants you to think?
Oh, yeah, she's good. All right, well, then I'll pick it. No, wait. I'm going to go for me, it's either between the, you know, getting locked in the wall or chair with fireworks. And now that I think about it, if asunder isn't Jess would go, what do I know about China? Great Wall of China. Guy gets locked in the wall of China. So I'm going to go fireworks on the chair.
Okay.
I love the workings out.
Yeah.
What about you, Jess?
I'm going to go the one where he fell off the wall and ended up buried in the wall.
The one that you wrote?
I'm going to go for my own one. That's
crazy. All right, Jess. Well, I'm not falling for that one. You're going a long way to make a point, but whatever.
All right, here's the right answers. Tried to prove that he could ride two horses at once, but he was torn asunder. That was the house.
That's a torn real fun asunder. Phrase. So good.
Accidentally eaten by an emperor. That was Al.
Accidentally eaten.
Can you talk us through that scenario?
You know, I thought we could figure out a way in which that could happen.
Maybe he fell asleep in a
big pot.
In a pot.
And then that nobody checked in the contents of the pot when they went to make soup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it was like, you know, or they were about to slow cook something and they just, he was near the meat and they, and there was a lot of meat, mm-hmm. you know, they just put him in there.
He was really tired and he had a quick nap, but the lights were off. He didn't realize he was napping on the spit. And
exactly, yeah.
And he's like, I'll just skewer myself with this.
Yes.
And just have a nice old rest.
And a lot of people enjoy sort of a gentle rocking.
Yeah.
Like a hammock to fall asleep. Exactly. He actually preferred to fully rotate.
Yeah, just
do a full, yeah.
Yeah.
Just do a full 360.
And then he just went to sleep and had nice dreams of being in a warm place. And it's not a bad way to go.
Do you think it's a rotisserie, right? Is what he was doing rotissing?
I guess so. Yeah. He was rotisserating?
But, rotissiesting?
Oh, yeah, rotissiesta.
Fucking hell, that's good stuff, Al.
But you know, that's the thing is that you'd be on the flame and probably every now and then you'd be like, oh, I'm getting really dry. But then somebody would probably like pour some liquid on you.
Yeah,
like,
they'd have that baste.
And you'd be like, oh, no, it won't work out.
Oh, that feels good, actually. Mm. Slipped on a banana peel, fell off a cliff. That was Jess Bergens.
Oh, of course. Of course. Why did I complicate it so much? Because
he slipped on a banana and then he recovered from that. It's a bit of a, what's it called?
It's like a rags to riches.
Yes,
he stepped out of the frying pan into the fire sort of thing, which is where that other guy was sleeping.
Before he got eaten.
But yeah, the one thing Jess knows about China, bananas, they have cliffs.
Very cliffy place.
A very cliffy
place. Very cliffy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost as cliffy as that Australian runner who wore gumboots.
Yep.
Oh, is that what his name was? Cliffy?
Cliffy.
I love that guy.
Jess went for the Great Wall of China fall.
Oh, this is not
so you weren't too far off, Al, because Jess did write one about a guy falling. That was Kayla, a.k.a. The House.
Oh, you got me, Kayla.
Meaning the correct answer is strapped himself to a chair full of fireworks in an attempt to get to the moon. So Al gets the point there.
Well done.
Yeah.
And The House is also on the board. Thank you, Jess. And thank you, Kayla.
I was saved by Jess's, I know that she loves to pick for things that don't sound too crazy. And the fact that this one was crazy enough to, to veer Jess off. Saved me and has given me one extra point.
It veered to get Jess closer off to Jess and tore her asunder.
Tore me asunder.
Absolutely tore you asunder.
All right, we're up to question number 5. This one comes from Claire Hazard from Falkirk in Scotland. Al, absolutely I think that's a little bit Jess north a new of you.
Sunder. Sorry. Oh wait, where is this? Sorry,
Falkirk I was in Scotland.
Falkirk. Oh yes. Well, if this goes well, I might send a letter there.
All right, question 5. What was the name of the 6th track on the 1966 country album The Lovin' Machine by artist Johnny Paycheck?
Johnny Paycheck. The album is The Lovin' Machine.
The Lovin' Machine.
And we're going for track number 6.
Track number 6.
It's not the title track then. That's usually track number 1.
Yeah, this is a key track though. Track 6, maybe track 1 side 2 perhaps.
What kind of genre are we talking? Did you tell us that? Country.
Claire makes the note. Fantastic name, Johnny Paycheck.
Incredible.
And I'm with you all the way on that one, Claire. While you're writing your answers, here's some more info about Wan Hu. According to NASA, with the help of many assistants, a lesser-known Chinese official named Wan Hu assembled a rocket-powered flying chair. Attached to the chair were 2 large kites, and fixed to the kites were 47 fire arrow rockets. On the day of the flight, Wan Hu sat himself on the chair and gave the command to light the rockets. 47 rocket assistants, each armed with torches, rushed forward to light the fuses. In a moment, there was a tremendous roar accompanied by billowing clouds of smoke. When the smoke cleared, Wan Hu and his flying chair were gone. No one knows for sure what happened to Wan Hu, but it is probable that if the event really did take place, Wan Hu and his chair were blown to pieces. Fire arrows were as apt to explode as to fly. According to Wiki, he is described in modern sources as the world's first astronaut by having been lifted by rockets in outer space. The crater Wan Hu on the far side of the moon is named after him. And according to Kayla, Wan Hu probably didn't exist, but it's fun to imagine. And the Mythbusters did an episode on it. Did that show make it to Australia? Sure did, Kayla. I watched a couple episodes of that at some point, but it was quite a popular show here. And Kayla says, also, my fake answer, the one that Jess picked, is steeped in legend too. When workers died building the wall, they would sometimes be buried inside of it. So
yeah, okay.
Kayla got you with some true facts.
Fucking got me.
It was absolutely steeped in legend in the way that those people were steeped in Great Wall of China. That doesn't make any sense. But, you know, but they say was the first astronaut. In order to be an astronaut, you got to make it to either 80 kilometers up or 100 kilometers up, depending on whether or not you're American.
What about 100 kilometers down?
That's a reverse astronaut.
The reverse astronaut does sound like a...
Sounds sexy.
An Urban Dictionary sort of sex position, doesn't it?
It's called an astronaut, but it's got two S's. Oh.
Reverse astronaut.
Yeah. All right, the answer in for question number 5. What was the name of the sixth track on...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
1966 country album The Love Machine by artist Johnny Paycheck. Coochie Coochie Cooch. Rootin' Tootin' Boots to Scootin'. All you need is gloves. Oh. I'm not here for love. I'm just here for the brackets Johnny, close brackets paycheck. Or pardon me, open brackets, I've got someone to kill. Close brackets. Oh, pardon me.
These are all incredible. I want them all to be real.
This is an EP ready to go.
Yeah. Sorry, Coochie Coochie. Yeah, we need to hear him again.
Coochie Coochie Cooch.
Oh, okay.
Rootin' Tootin' Boots to Scootin'. All you need is gloves. I'm not here for love. I'm just here for the Johnny paycheck. Or pardon me, I've got someone to kill.
Oh, God, that's good.
I honestly love all of these. Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm. Realistically, what's it going to be?
I'm a big fan of third person talk. I'm just here for the Johnny paycheck.
That's so funny.
All you need is gloves.
Yeah, but like I don't know
more
enough
info
about
required.
Yeah, I don't know enough about Johnny Paycheck to know if he's like a parody kind of guy.
Yeah.
I think if your name's Johnny Paycheck, maybe you are a little bit parody.
I'm assuming that is you know, that's a song about rodeo riding.
Oh,
you know, they probably wear gloves.
Probably.
Oh,
I thought it was
about going out with and covering up your cold fingers.
Oh, yeah.
God, you and your cold fingers.
Do you think this could be a Canadian country singer?
Well, I mean, you
probably
know,
someone
Canada
who goes to the
country
stampede.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think the chances are high. You know, it speaks English. You know, Canada is a country. You know, all the things are lining up so far. Mm. Mm-hmm.
They both start with C.
Oh, yeah.
Rootin' Tootin' Boots to Scootin', Coochie Coochie Cooch. Pardon me, I've got someone to kill. They're your 5 options.
I mean, you read 3 just then.
Well, because I've been working my way up through them.
Oh, I see.
I'm not here for love. I'm just here for the Johnny paycheck.
Yes.
All you need is gloves.
I'm going to go to someone to kill.
Oh, yeah, that's so good. I would quite like that one as well, but I'll choose something different. I think it might be Coochie Coochie Cooch.
Okay.
I want Al to be right, though.
Coochie, coochie, cooch. I should say there's a hyphen between coochie and coochie, but none between coochie and cooch.
Yeah, that feels right.
Yep. You probably were picturing it that way.
Yes.
Yeah. All you need is gloves. That's the house.
Okay.
I was intending to put more work into it, and I thought, you know, maybe a bit of mystery is fun.
You know, the thing is that if it had been glove... I feel like without the S at the end, it would have made more sense in a kind of romantic album kind of context.
Right. All you need is a glove.
You know, because then you're like, you're about to have protected sex, maybe.
Oh, right. Or maybe it was a Michael Jackson one, because he only ever wore one.
Sure. Yeah. Well, but if that was a Michael Jackson song, that would make more sense then.
Mm.
But, yeah, no, but it might have been
Johnny Paycheck serenading.
Yeah.
Oh, Michael that's Jackson. True.
Mm-hmm.
Telling him what he already does and that's all he needs.
Yeah.
Well, he needs a glove, mate.
Mm.
I'm not here for love. I'm just here for the Johnny Paycheck. That was Jess Perkins.
That's very good.
Love third person talk.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Rootin' tootin' boots for scootin'. That was Claire. Okay, the house.
Oh, that's good. Oh, so good. One of us is right.
Jess went for Coochie Coochie Cooch, which was Alistair Tremblay Birchall.
Oh!
Meaning, Al, you were correct. Pardon me, I've got someone to kill.
I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Everyone's a winner.
Thank you, Jess.
It was exactly what you wanted it to be, Bopper.
Good stuff, Al. Coochie Coochie Cooch, because it's terrible. But but you'd be like, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. More so than all you need is gloves.
Yeah. I mean, it turned that guy into somebody that you didn't want to make love to.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah. Whereas Coochie Coochie Cooch, so. I want to make love.
I'm ready.
But the real one is, pardon me, I've got someone to kill.
Yeah, it's just like he's being very polite. Yeah, I'm picturing it like at a soiree.
Yeah. Oh, pardon me.
Pardon me. Pardon me.
I've got someone to kill.
Yeah.
I got a mosey on him.
He's on a date. He's one-on-one with somebody, you know? Possibly a lady lover.
But you know the other context where you might say, pardon me, like if you burp or fart? So I imagine he does a big burp and then says, pardon me, I've got someone to kill.
Oh,
pardon me.
And then he shoots his own rude sort of stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For being so rude. His rude stomach.
Which also just relieves all the gas.
How dare you be so rude.
Like, because they do that. Cowboys, you see, like sometimes after, like if a cow's eating clover or something and, you know, they've stomachs have really gassed up, they'll have to like pierce the stomach to relieve the pressure. So maybe they do that to themselves as well if they're feeling bloated.
Why doesn't the horse just fart? Stupid horses.
Great question.
Cows. That's what you're saying, not horses.
I know
horse
seagulls
boy.
Can't, so I'm not sure if maybe a seagull is closely related to a cow. And maybe
I think so.
Okay.
Yes. Is that when they people feed them Panadol or whatever?
Yeah. That what happens they can't let gas out. That's a crazy system of a body.
Yeah. But they have cloacas, don't they? Probably.
That's right. Absolutely.
Which you think is a great
system. Go on episode. That I think they do. I love that as a system. I think it's the best general.
All right. We're up to question number 6. Should just say, quick score update. There's been a bit of movement. The house on 1 point, Jess on 4 points, but out in front now on 5 points, Alistair Tremblay Birchall.
I mean, two. I don't think I've ever been in front this late.
Two questions to go. Here's question 6. This comes from Stephen D. from Haarlem in the Netherlands. And Stephen's question is, why were Dutch police called to a typically quiet suburb in the city of Eindhoven at 2 a.m. on August the 21st, 2023? Why were Dutch police called to a typically quiet suburb 2 a.m. on August the 21st, 2023? While you're writing those answers, let me tell you more about Johnny Paycheck and his song. According to Claire, Johnny Paycheck's real name, disappointingly, was Donald Eugene Little. However, it seems his son, John Paycheck, carried on his stage name and also became a country star. Claire would recommend falling into the rabbit hole of looking up his album and song titles. Some potential for future questions, Matt. I did do that last night. There's a lot of gold in them hills. She also says, you've possibly even used him before. He seems too good to have not been mentioned before, but I don't think I have mentioned him before. The song's pretty grim, to be honest, but the first verse is a bit of fun out of context. And it goes, I know you'll excuse me if I say goodnight. I've got a promise to fulfill. Thank you for listening to my troubles. Pardon me, I've got someone to kill. Bit of fun.
Bit of fun.
Bit of fun. All right, here's question 6. Why were the Dutch police called to a typically quiet suburb in the city of Eindhoven at 2 a.m. on August 21st, 2023? A resident reported the presence of drug dealers, only for police to discover it was local youths playing Pokemon Go. A group of neighbors had started loudly line dancing in the street.
I'd call the cops on that if I wasn't included.
Do-si-do and dip-a-do.
Yeah,
and
if all my neighbors are outside on the street and they're all doing the coochie-coochie-cooch.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, the fuck was my invite?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd call the cops
on
that.
And then you'd call 000 and say, I've got an emergency.
Yeah, of course.
And it's called FOMO.
Yes. I said, I've got an emergency, officer. I've been bullied.
Yeah, that's brutal.
What about this one? A truck carrying beavers to the Amsterdam Zoo had overturned just by the Antique Clog Museum. got a man.
I imagine that would be dangerous because the clogs are made of wood.
Yes.
And beavers eat
the
wood.
Beavers, yeah. And they're like, we need these.
That's why it would be an emergency.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Quick.
Quick. Because
these are
old
growth clogs.
They're sort of like mammalian termites.
Mm.
You don't want to get them in the walls of your in the walls.
No.
No.
Don't want that.
You don't want to get them in the walls of your clogs.
On the walls of your clogs.
Two more options. A man woke to find a herd of cows in his backyard.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if that's it. It feels like it's not enough, doesn't it?
I mean, I wouldn't know who to call. Maybe I would call cops.
Cow cops.
Would you call cow cops?
Who do you call
bovine
for that?
Bovine cops. Mm. Bovine police force.
Yeah.
BPF.
Bovine
1-1? BPF.
Like 911.
That's good.
Final option. Good. A masked vigilante named the Clogged Crusader was waking up the neighborhood as he ran down the road chasing a robber in his wooden shoes. Clop, 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 clop. I suppose would have gone. So you got the Pokemon Go drug dealers, you got the line dancing in the street, you got the beavers in the Antique Clog Museum, you got the herd of cows in the backyard, or the Clogged Crusader, clipping and clopping.
Well,
clipping and clogging.
I'm not picking the clog, the beavers, because I know that's Jess wrote that.
That's how funny it was.
Yeah.
Do you think the Clogged Crusader would have trouble sometimes people confusing him for a constipated vigilante?
Oh, the Clogged Crusader. Yeah.
I just think he should have workshopped the name
a
little further.
I did not get that at first.
Clogged Crusader does sound like it could be a good plumber name.
Yeah.
You know.
And his gimmick is, or hers, is that they go around wearing wooden shoes. Jeez, they can't be comfortable.
No, they should surely
even
not.
The softest wood, I would say, is
pretty
too
tough.
Hard for a shoe.
Splinters, surely.
Oh, yeah.
No, but don't you think that the fact that they invented wooden shoes but then stopped at that and didn't create wooden socks, wooden pants, wooden underwear, wooden shirts, and wooden hats makes Holland a country full of cowards?
Yeah, quitters, cowards.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cowards is very close to cowherds, which was one of the options.
I'm going to choose cowherd.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I'm choosing cowherd.
You're good at...
No, Jess, don't do this to yourself.
I'm going cowherd.
Jess, it couldn't possibly be that.
What do you think it is then?
I think it's the Pokemon Go.
In 2023, they were still playing Pokemon Go?
It's still available.
Did they say it was...
Yeah, it's in August 2023.
Yeah, it is still available. Yeah, I was playing it. I know, but why is the herd of cows making it to the news? Do they not have cows
in 2023?
Yeah, cows.
Cows, that were 2014.
Yeah, I thought Pokemon Go was, I mean, yeah, people are still playing it, but I didn't, it wasn't really in its height of, but yeah, maybe, it's probably Pokemon Go. Whatever.
It's probably not, but maybe that's why it's so surprising.
That means neither of you are going for either of the clog ones.
I'm going to go for the beavers at the Clog Museum.
You're changing but based on Al's bullying.
Yeah.
I'm about to call 000.
I want to go.
Jess, don't pick the beavers.
Why? That's my favorite answer.
Hey?
Jess, I'm going to need you to lock one
Jess,
in.
Jess, don't pick your own answer.
I'm going for the beavers at the Clog Museum. Because that's funny. And whoever wrote that deserves to be rewarded.
Jess, don't do that. That's, not, almost, what, that's not what anyone's asking.
I think clogs is the Dutch version of the Great Wall. You know, what's the one thing we know about China? Great Wall.
Great
what's
Wall.
The one
Great
thing we know Wall. About Dutch? Clogs.
Clogs.
Clogs, yeah.
Clogs.
Because what else is it, like Edam cheese or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Thing, isn't it?
And also, yeah, marijuana. all right, here's who wrote the answers. The masked vigilante named the Clog Crusader. That was the house. The house also wrote the Pokemon Go one. So Al gave a point to the house there. Group of neighbors loudly line dancing in the street. That was Jess Perkins. Were they wearing clogs?
Yeah.
Yeah. You just didn't have to spell it out. That's why your riding is better and more efficient.
I'm a very good rider.
A truck carrying beavers to the Amsterdam Zoo. Jess went for that. That was Al.
Really?
And the one that Jess initially went for, a man woke to find a herd of cows in the backyard, was correct.
Oh, my God.
I knew that was Al because, well, it's pretty easy, actually, because every time you start to say one that sounds a bit silly, I look at Al and he gets a little glint in his eye and giggles along with
and
me.
And he winks.
Yeah.
He winks at you.
But, fuck, it's funny.
His eyebrows raise a bit.
But, see, like, it was a slow news day if just a herd of cows were in a man's backyard.
Mm.
I mean, it also
But isn't that a weird, in a suburb, imagine waking up, this girl was like, what is going on?
A herd like, of cows. Not just one cow. One cow would be confusing.
It's 30 cows.
That's too many cows.
In a suburban backyard.
And I don't know who I would call.
You wake up to that and you don't think the newspaper's putting that in the odd spot? I reckon it is.
And I reckon they did.
We know that they did.
So that's a point to the house there and a point to the house.
I'm actually amazed that made it as a question on Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. Like, that's a huge journey that has traveled, that story of cows.
Well, I think because Stephen, who wrote the question, lives in the Netherlands. That's probably less surprising.
Well, no, of course. Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know. All right, we're up to the final question. This one comes from Lewis Gemmell from Glasgow. Oh, and we normally finish with a movie synopsis question, but we're mixing it up this week. We want a book synopsis.
Oh, yes.
So the question is, what is the bizarre synopsis of the 1967 novel The Starlight Barking, which is the sequel to The 101 Dalmatians? You know, the classic 101 Dalmatians?
Yep.
Yes.
This is its quite strange sequel. Sounds like it took a bit of a left-hand turn.
Wasn't the sequel 102 Dalmatians?
The movie one was, but the book one was different. It's the 1967 novel, The Starlight Barking, while you're writing those. And, you know, it's normally like 2, 3, 4 sentences long, short paragraph.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay. While your answers are being written, it was The Starlight Barking is the name of it, if that helps you. While the answer being written, here's some more info about these cows. Oh, actually, here's the article. Straight out of the NL Times. Residents of several streets in Eindhoven's Stratum district received an unexpected surprise last night. About 30 cows escaped from their enclosure and meandered towards the city centre. The Eindhoven's Dagblad reported on Monday. The police had to intervene to stop their parade. The cows were probably spooked by music coming from a metal festival in the area. Late into the night, Eric van Schenkbril, a resident on Angelia Street, was woken up by an unusual sound, saying, "I really did not understand what was going on, so I stepped outside and suddenly I saw 30 cows in my backyard. This unexpected turn of events occurred around 2:30 a.m. For a moment, I thought I was still dreaming," he said, laughing. The police went to the scene and cordoned off the area to ensure the road safety. They managed to bring the cows into the parking lot of the Basic Fit gym, and the wandering cows travelled from a meadow near Jennifer Parks, roughly a kilometre away. Eric speculated on the cause. It seems they were spooked by the music from the metal festival, talking about Dynamo Metal Fest, which was held nearby at an ice skating rink. "The music is very loud there," he remarked. "After a while, I realized they were just fine in the parking lot, so I went back to bed. But it took a while before I could go back to sleep because of the noise." The cattle's owner was alerted and retrieved the animals. By daylight, Eric's photos revealed the parking lot's new state, which was littered with cow dung. Reflecting on the event, he said, "It was a crazy night." What a story. I'm not surprised it made it to this show.
What a story.
I don't know what Al wants. He wants something more than cows in a backyard.
No, no, no. I actually like it because I feel like it changes my psychology of what I think will be, you know, the answer on a who knew it question. Yes.
You got to keep it mixed up.
Exactly. Or else it's always look for the weirdest but more, you know, most possible reasonable sounding one. Yeah.
Keep them guessing. Okay, the final answers are in for the final question. What is the bizarre synopsis of the 1967 novel The Starlight Barking, which is the sequel to The 101 Dalmatians? So, yes, this is a book synopsis. Here we go. After a rare supermoon, the town is inflicted with a strange curse of were-Dalmatians. It's up to Pongo and his pups to find out what's causing it and, more importantly, find a cure. And along the way, they find out a little more about themselves and what it means to be a Dalmatian. Pongo, obviously, everyone knows that Pongo is one of the key pups. Well, yeah, there's the Dealey family. Every answer's got references to... I'm just surprised that everyone knows knows specific details about this. Pongo and his adopted troop of puppies take a trip on maiden voyage of the Hindenburg. In the air, they discover Cruella de Vil is also aboard. With a crate of greyhound, she hopes to make into a moo-moo. The pups convince the pilot to fly downwards towards some power lines, saving greyhounds from the fashion industry. I think she was going to make them be models. The Dealey family and most of the Dalmatians of the first book still live in Cruella de Vil's old house. One morning, the dogs find all other living things are unable to be awakened. Doors, gates, and machines operate on command, and the dogs can now fly and communicate with each other telepathically. While the dogs are trying to keep the planet running, a lonely alien arrives and gives them a chance to leave Earth forever.
Oh, man, I want that to be
Me too.
The Dealey family and their pet Dalmatians are living happily together until one day they hear distressing sounds from a nearby forest. Every creature in the forest is making the same strange barking noise. The family try to figure out the cause of the strange phenomena and end up discovering a sinister secret. Well, finally, a traveling circus comes to town and steals some of the Dalmatians for their show. The remaining dogs must steal and drive an old steam engine, the Starlight Barking, to pursue the circus train and save their family. Along the way, they realize that train travel is the best way to see the country, and they go on adventures at each stop, dramatically slowing their pursuit of the circus, but at the same time significantly increasing their appreciation of the funny little thing we call life. All right, so a quick summary. We got the Were Dalmatians. We got the maiden voyage of the Hindenburg. We've got the lonely alien. And the dogs can telepathically communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the forest, the strange barking noise coming from the forest with a sinister secret. We've got the traveling circus coming to town and they get into train travel.
Is this for the win?
This is for the win. This is triple points. This is on the line. Still anyone's game.
Wow.
Apart from the house.
This game? God. Oh, wow. The house can't win this?
House can't win. But you two... can and will win.
Yeah, one of us will win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, who wants to
I'm going to pick the aliens.
Damn it, I want to pick the aliens too.
You can pick the aliens too.
But she's coming from behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
The reverse astronaut. Astronaut.
Do you want to pick the aliens and I'll pick something else?
No. Because then
I'm happy
if I
to move it.
No, because then if that's the right one.
You win on points and I win through generosity.
You would be on level scores if Al didn't talk you out of picking the correct one before moving to his answer. So, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot at play
I guess,
here.
I guess if
think
I had
about?
Used incredible psychology on you.
Okay. Let's not forget the judgmental mango fish, okay?
Oh, that's true. You both got in each other's heads.
Hey, complimenting me doesn't mean we're insulting you, Jess.
I can't remember any of the others now. To change my
Where Dalmatians, Hindenburg, Lonely Alien, the Sinister Secret coming from the forest, or Traveling Circus.
I'm going to choose Hindenburg.
Hindenburg. All right.
Hindenburg.
I think it's the right thing to do.
The 1960s, you know?
Yeah, it was a crazy time.
All right. Here's who wrote the answers. The rare super moon causing a strange curse of Where Dalmatians. That was Lewis, aka the house.
That's good. I love the idea of a Where Dalmatian.
Mm.
Then we had also the house, the traveling circus coming to town, stealing the Dalmatians for the show. I added the stupid bit at the end that they started loving train travel.
That was really cute, though. That was very funny.
Yeah, it was really beautiful, and they started enjoying life.
It's just a great way to see the country.
Yeah.
The strange noises coming from the nearby forest. That was Jess Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a very guessable answer.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Wasn't crazy
Everything
enough.
Was barking.
Jess,
it had a good amount of crazy.
Went for the Hindenburg, which was pretty crazy. it was pretty strange, wasn't it?
It was a bit strange, probably written by a strange person.
It was. Alistair Trumbly Birchall.
Jess.
And that means
Jess,
that
I can't believe it.
Your instincts were both correct. It was that weird alien one.
Amazing.
What a strange sequel.
Yeah.
From I was going to say adorable story, but it's about a woman wanting to skin dogs, so it's not that cute, is it?
Yeah. Was there anything weird in the original book that Disney omitted or something?
Maybe.
Or did it just, the first book to the second book was a huge left-hand turn, I wonder.
I reckon there's probably some stuff that they must have left out or something like that. But I mean, I wonder if Disney had bought the story before they made the sequel, just because then they're like, oh, fuck it, now I got money. I can write what I really want to write.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know?
I don't have to worry about sort of really selling this one. I'm gonna go crazy.
Yeah, this one will sell itself.
Yeah.
So I can just put my heart and soul into it. Aliens.
flying dogs.
I'll just take a second to put the scores together. Before I do that, I can say that this book on Goodreads has a 3.62 out of 5-star average rating.
That's not
pretty
bad.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I found a review on Chain Interaction, a book blog, and it says, if ever a book could be a party trick, this is mine. I wheel out this story during awkward lulls in conversations as it's a surefire crowd pleaser. Picture the scene. You're sipping on a glass of now lukewarm white wine and the conversation is dying out. You turn to your nearest and dearest and remark, did you know there's a sequel to 101 Dalmatians? They will, of course, respond with, why, yes, I hated that film. Or perhaps, Patch's London Adventure is amazing. You can now shake your head superciliously and tut at how superior your knowledge of mid-20th century children's books is. No, dear friend, there is a written sequel produced by Dodie Smith 11 years after the first one was published. What's it about, you ask? Oh, it's a normal tale where the Dalmatians and all the other dogs wake to discover that the humans are all unwakeable and the dogs have some kind of superpowers. Since they're worried about what's going on, they head to London to consult with the dog parliament to work out what's going on. Anyway, yeah, and it gets weirder from there.
Who speaks like that at a dinner party?
Yeah.
see if I can find.
I mean, this person's review is weirder than that book.
let's see. They've got a. Oh, yeah. Judith, a 20-something based in the city of Dreaming Spires, in brackets, Oxford, UK. I read far too much for my own good sometimes. I share my thoughts on what I read on this blog. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
That's probably over-explaining things.
Oh, I
share my thoughts on what I read on this blog.
Yeah.
Which is my book review blog. All right, so...
Okay.
I like a vibe.
Yeah, she seems fun at parties.
So,
yeah,
I was picturing a 50-something-year-old, I've got to tell you.
Yeah.
20-something-year-old.
Oh, that's sad.
Warm dinner party with the white wine and stuff.
Nah, yeah, you suck.
Yeah.
No, if you're listening, you rule. You know 50% of my audience is that book reviewer? All right, so here are the final scores. I have two listeners. On 2 points, it's The House. On 4 points, in second place, is Jess Perkins. But way out in front on 12 points, it's Alistair Tremblay-Birchall.
I can't believe it. I feel like Jess was gifting me points.
I think she was too.
Those last few questions, yeah. Jess,
at some point, like, she took pity on you, didn't she? I noticed that as well. It was a real vibe change. She started thinking, Al needs this.
I felt bad about the judgmental mango fish one, but I was like, let's let him have it. What else has he got going for him? He's moved to Canada.
Yeah, that's a cry for help, isn't it?
In the middle of an Australian summer. Like, how dumb are you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No. I can understand that. And you know what? You win some, you lose some.
It's recording this from his brother's basement.
It's so embarrassing for him. His brother's in the room.
Younger brother?
Well, no, yeah, it is my younger brother's
he's not in the room anymore.
Even your younger brother, he's not in the room anymore because he's moved on with what he was doing.
Yeah.
He's got better things to do, yeah.
But I'm very impressed that your younger brother has a place with a basement. Or a basement's normal.
It's a very normal thing here.
How's it just have way more levels over there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're very mono-leveled.
But the people have
fewer
levels.
I think you got to put things. I think you got to put more stuff deeper underground so that things don't freeze.
Right. So you put it further into the cold ground. See, this is what I'm talking about. Mm. He needed a win. These people are crazy.
we're down close to the core where it's still warm.
Oh yeah, I guess if you put it in the attic,
to lava,
it's closer to the snow.
Yeah, but exactly. Also closer to the sun.
Okay. We've been recording for ages. I don't want to get bogged down in what's closer to warm and cold.
Hey, Al, where can people find you if they want to book you for a gig or otherwise?
My goodness. They can find me at A. Trombley Birchall on Instagram, or they can find me at...
I think of you as the Trombley Birchall.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
That's good.
You know, but, you know, there's actually two A. Trombley Birchalls because my brother is also an A. Trombley Birchall.
Oh, and he has
not this one here.
Oh, okay.
No, that's not this one. But the other one also is a homeowner. I'm the only one who doesn't own a home.
God, you're a disappointment to everyone.
But they can find me on the Two in the Think Tank podcast, but they can email me at gmail.com if they need to.
Love that. I love a self-doxing.
Yeah.
That's your personal email, the one you use to like...
Yeah.
You sure you want that in there?
All right, let's cut that out. look, they can contact me on our podcast email, twointhethinktank@gmail.com.
Great. Thank you so much for coming in via satellite.
Via your brother's basement.
It's been the dream of my life to one day be on Who Knew It with Matt Stewart with Jess Perkins from Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you might be the second person to zoom in from overseas. Wow.
Wow.
I just appreciate not being
maybe the first
already.
From the Northern Hemisphere.
Wow.
Whoa. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Whoa. Well, where was somebody else? What, like from New Zealand or something like that?
Asia, South Africa. New Zealand.
Oh, yeah. You got anybody from South America yet?
No.
Not yet. But we have emailed southamerica@gmail.com and said, is anybody interested? So I did that from Matt's email account. This is my podcast now.
All right. Jess, where can people find you?
Jess Perkins at Instagram. I'm not doing much at the moment, so.
But geez, your followers. What are you up to? 20 mil?
20 mil.
20 mil.
20 mil followers.
20
mil.
Follow
to
see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out.
It's the nudes. Yeah.
Maybe Jess might be getting some exciting new jobs soon.
Starting new jobs.
Yeah, you say that like there's offers.
No.
If anybody listening, I don't want it.
Nah.
I don't want any jobs. If anybody's listening, leave me alone.
Leave her alone.
if you've got a job you think I'd be good at, give it to someone else.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
if somebody can do it over distance, I'll take it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Give it to Al.
Yeah.
I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of offcuts from this episode. So stick around if you want to hear those after the song. But thanks so much for listening. Please give us a 5-star review. Oh, I think in an episode a few weeks ago, maybe I sounded sad about no one reviewing, and I got a whole bunch of reviews that were very nice.
Oh, good. So sound sad again.
So I'm actually, now I need it.
Please.
I need another hit. Yeah. Please give us another 5-star review, please. Maybe tell your friends if you know anyone who might enjoy this show. But cheers for tuning in to Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. Now that you know it, I've been Matt Stewart. Goodbye.
Oh, it felt like I was right on time. I don't know. It felt like when I did it,
I mean, it will for you. That's the beauty of it.
I mean, you guys could be on Australian tour, maybe.
Yeah, we're ahead.
We can tell you the future.
Yeah, mate. I love that bit. That's well, when, you know, people come up to me in the park.
Retired.
So, I know. I'm still checking the edge every day.
Still.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought you said I'm checking the edge.
yeah.
Edge FM.
Oh, yeah.
Regional radio.
You're already losing your already convoluted accent.
No. I am checking it on the edge every day. I go to the u2.com and I click on band members.
I'm checking
in
on the edge, eh?
Yeah, I feel really good about 2024.
Really?
I got a really good feeling about it.
Because you're retiring.
Yeah.
And so, like, quitting is one of the most nice feeling things.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
And
so you're...
I have weekends.
Yeah. Like Triple J weekends? Did you get offered that?
They offered me weekends.
Oh, my God. That's going to be so good. That's going to be...
so great.
Wait, Matt. Are you going to be using some of my footage as well?
He didn't hear you.
Okay. Oh, Matt.
No, I don't think...
We won't be using this footage. That was just
you're
so
fine.
You could... I just wanted you to be able to see Jess's funny face.
Yeah.
You could see how Jess's... I'm glowing now that I have weekends available.
It actually does look like a glow.
Thank you.
Did Al already make the joke? Oh, were you offered weekends?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I said, I've got weekends. He said, well, you were offered weekend arvos?
Oh, that's amazing. That's
good stuff.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, you could do it with Luca and Jordan. yeah.
You've been offered weekend arvos to yourself. That's so good.
Yeah.
Weekend arvos back.
Just that.
Working weekends. I work weekends for so long in a supermarket.
Yeah.
The first time that I didn't have to for a while, I was like, this is fucking crazy.
Oh, man. I think, like, when you're in your 20s and, you know, most of your friends are probably doing the same while you're working through uni and stuff, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I'm old now and all of my friends have Monday to Friday jobs and my partner has a Monday to Friday job and I never got to see any of them. And now I'm like, wow, we can just potter around the house. This is so nice.
Yeah, that is really nice. That glow suggests that you might be pregnant with free time. On the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm ironically, she's got less labor.
Yeah. She's going out of labor.
That was much better for me.
No,
ATB here punched things up.
It couldn't have worked without the setup.
You're just a good team.
Yeah.
Oh, mate.
Andy Schmandy, I've always said.
That's what I've always said as well.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Andy Schmandy Matthews. The ore, and Al then turns it into usable steel. I don't understand mining. Is that what happens?
From my understanding of video games, yeah.
I would suggest that Matt also often presents steel, and then I just present that same piece of steel slightly, and I've just turned it slightly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, and I'm like, holy shit, it's got a backside?
Yeah, I'm always showing.
No, you
Matt
can do that with steel.
The backside of objects. So you go, look at this. God. This object's got a butt. And then I remember the cold fingers when you walk around in the cold outside.
Okay.
And then, I'm remembering the cold face that you get when you also walk around outside.
Because you left as a teen, right? So you'd remember cold fingers in all sorts of ways.
Yes, I was in my first year of my teenage years, you know, just sprouting my first saplings of pubes.
Hey, Connor, edit out that bit of me trying to make a joke about Al fingering in his teen years with cold fingers. I don't think it landed.
I didn't even hear the
cold fingering.
Yeah, no, I mean, it wasn't well put together, and it's kind of like on the edge of being a bit yuck anyway. Just like, yeah, it was fucking shit.
Because you can finger as an adult.
Yeah.
You should. What? You should finger.
I think it's like, you know, like certain, you know, like, you know, smoking, you know, or drinking has a drinking age. And maybe this particular performative action should have a sort of a higher access date on it.
Do you
it,
not want to say fingering because your brother's in the room?
I'm trying to limit the amount of times I say fingering because my brother's in the room. Yeah. Yeah. How could you tell?
Because I wouldn't want to say fingering in front of my brother.
That particular sexual motion.
I did not want to mention in front of my brother.
But yeah. In front of you, he's just hearing you talk about particular sexual motion.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah. What the fuck is he talking about?
You don't want to leave too much for your brother's imagination because...
That's are you talking about fingering? Yeah.
He'll fill in all sorts of stuff and it'll be worse stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think the word motion makes it sound like it's more torso based, you know, or more like sort of like, you know, pelvis based maybe.
And that's better.
Motion in the ocean.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's probably worse, actually.
I'm picturing two people lying on top of each other doing that 80s worm dance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. I would love a double layer. It almost would look like the layers of Earth. You know, like, you know how like they said, that, you know, there's like the stratosphere and then there's the other bit for
you. Yeah. Ozone.
Sphere, but
yeah, hole ozone.
The hole, that's the butt. Hole. That's the butt of the top person.
Matt, you took that one. You turned that one around and showed me the butt that time.
It was beautiful teamwork.
It's funny how they were trying so hard to get you on this show before you left and then realizing, oh, you can still be on it from over there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would have loved to have made, you know, one more, you know, in-person appearance, but it just, the days were getting a little bit tighter. But yeah, it was just, everything was falling apart a little bit.
It was great seeing your last stand-up spot in Australia before you left. You killed it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It was nice. It was very nice that they had asked me, because that was also like one of those, you know, rare things where you do a gig and then somebody asks you right after your gig, you're like... Can you come and do a gig at my room like that? And you go, oh, I haven't had that happen for so long. I can't say no.
So you did. Oh, you did do another one.
No. That was that one was that.
Oh, right.
It had happened at Comedy Republic.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah.
And those were supposed to be my last gigs.
It's a shame that after Catfish, a Canadian didn't come up to you and go, hey,
that would have been.
Can you come and do my room?
That would have been
in Montreal.
So
I think it just.
Oh, why don't you do Just for Laughs? That's over there.
Yeah, do that.
Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, maybe I'll go see.
Flick an email or something.
Hey, Al, if anyone's in Canada listening and they run comedy rooms or know someone who does, should they get in touch?
If they know people who run comedy rooms, they should tell them to ask them, especially particularly in Montreal. They should get them to put me on and help. Quickly advance the speed in which I am entering a new scene.
Yeah. And help your French comedy evolution, which of course will make you more round, more hard, and more snippy.
Yes.
And more pinchy. Yeah.
Pinchy, sorry. Yeah.
You really want to hit that crab market.
Oh, man. I want
to... Of comedy, mean, not yeah, like a market where you buy crabs.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, that'd be correct.
I mean, At this stage, I'd be happy to play a crab market if I could get that too. So if anybody knows any crab market owners.
Yeah, okay, great.
Not just owners. It could also be just a guy who's just, you know, is just high up in the crab market.
What
like
if
a middle manager or something.
Anybody listening knows a crab?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would prefer to perform to a single crab. I think that would be a great way to film a special if the crab would let me film it.
What about, so the problem with married crabs?
You know what? I would do it to a married crab.
Have I been too hard on Americans today?
Not hard enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was thinking that I was thinking it's about time you ramp it up a little bit.
Really? Yeah. Because I know Americans are pretty sensitive. And
sensitive Americans, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they need such a strong defense force. You know? Because deep down in their hearts, they're actually a sensitive people. And so you got to defend those fragile hearts with big guns and bombs.
Yep.
And they're gone.
I was thinking bombs. That as well. You can't say guns and bombs without then saying, and they're guns and they're bombs. They're bombs.
Yeah, they're bombs.
They're bombs.
Lethal bombs.
Do you want to know a bit about Al's process for the last one, Jess, while he's writing his answer?
Please.
So his initial answer was coochie choochie cooch. And then he said, no, coochie coochie cooch.
Okay. And that's where you got me, because I wouldn't have chosen coochie choochie cooch.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to know I never meant to spell coochie choochie.
I figured.
It was supposed to be coochie coochie cooch the whole time.
I really think that was just your process. You went, no, even better.
Even better. No, I've worked on it and it's even better.
It was his drop the from Facebook moment.
Mm.
Oh, that's right. It used to be the Facebook.
And then Justin Timberlake told him to drop it.
Yeah.
Are you guys thinking about adding a the to Do Go On?
The Do Go On. No, the do go on. The On.
Oh, well, what about Do the Go On?
Do the Go On. That's like a cool or dance move.
Yeah, or Do Go On The.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surely that's so good that it's already been taken.
Sometimes it's worth just Googling it, just in case.
Just in case, yeah. But aren't you worried that when you do that, Google then goes, oh, there's someone at Google going, oh, that is a good answer.
That
quick.
Is good.
Lock it down.
Yeah. Okay.
Pop colour.
I was on the summer holidays. I went on a hike in Tasmania and like a decent hike. It's quite steep.
I went down south recently for a hike in Tasmania.
And there were people behind me on the trail. I couldn't see them yet through the path. And they were like talking so loudly. One of the girls kept screaming. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? We're in this beautiful national park. Shut up. At one stage, I stopped to like enjoy the view, catch my breath. And they walk past. One of the guys is in flip-flops for you, Al. Thongs for
Thank
the rest
you.
Of us.
Yeah.
And a collared shirt and board shorts. The other guy is in boat shoes, like leather boat shoes, again, collared shirt and just like random shorts. And the girl is in head to toe Ralph Lauren polo, slick back bun, like tiny little tennis skirt and a cardigan. And I'm like, you are not dressed for a hike. What are you doing?
Yeah. And they just strolled past you, rubbing salt in the wound.
Yeah, exactly. They did. And it was really hurtful because I was there in activewear and proper shoes. And they
sweating.
They just walked straight past.
Like they're gliding above the dirt.
I was like, I hate you. I never saw him again because they really took off. It was
what
so
was she
quick.
Screaming about?
Oh, I don't know. Something spooked her and she screamed and then laughed so loudly the whole time. It was just strange. It was obnoxious and I hated them.
Are they were Australian though?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. What are they?
You know, why are you wearing like a business type shirt on a hike? What are you doing?
What are they scared of in Tasmania?
I don't know. There was a wallaby. You scared of a little wallaby?
Oh, yeah. It just sounds like that might be a tourist might be scared of a wallaby or something, but Tasmania doesn't have any crocodiles or anything.
That we know of.
But also, you know, if they were American, you know, like they could see something like, they go, oh, you know, like one of the guys would go, oh, look, there's a bandicoot. Mm-hmm. And she would go, oh, that's hilarious. Like that. And that wouldn't be that out of place for an American, you know?
Yeah, that's right. But no, they were Australian.
Oh.
And they were. She was hilarious. Quite nice as she went past. She was like, hi. And I was like, fuck you.
Oh, no.
In my head. Out loud, I said, hello.
It's funny that, yeah, the We forget that Australians can be as obnoxious as anyone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wait, do we forget that?
No, I don't forget that.
Never forget.
Never forget. Anyway, no, I'm sorry.
I always remember. Do 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 do
do do
do do do
do.
Al, he said it. Ipa Nipa.
I think maybe they have a different version in Canada.
Oh, they have a different version in Canada where you've been for 5 days.
Look, I'm not who I used to be, guys, so don't expect me to
let him go.
I miss the old Al. I miss him.
I'm dead. Is like, you know, I make cool stuff now and I do cool things and my
you have cold fingers.
Cold fingers. Cold
fingers. Yeah.
No, they say cold fingers, worm heart. Worm heart.
Cold fingers, worm heart. I've always said that.
They say cold fingers, worm heart.
Worm heart. I don't know. I don't know why they say it. They've just always said it.
Yeah. Curled fingers, worm heart.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.